Welcome to Hope at Home. It's great to be with you guys in your homes, in your living rooms, on your phones, wherever you're watching. I just thank you for the privilege of everyone allowing me to speak into your life. So I want to say thank you. I want to thank Pastor Drew and Tamara for allowing me and giving me this opportunity to be able to speak into your lives about the one I love, Jesus. He is so amazing, and I hope by the end of this night, you guys are just encouraged and more in love with Jesus. Or if, you know, I'm just believing for some breakthrough tonight. I'm believing for some really, like, godly things to happen. You know, the last thing any of us want to do is give a good speech. Like, right now is not the time for us to give good speeches. When I was studying for the message of me saying, Jesus, what do you want me to speak this evening with our Hope family? And I was praying and I was meditating, and I literally have like 4 pages of notes. I have all of this stuff, like, you know, scriptures and thoughts, and I'm like, man, this is good, but something was missing. I was like, this morning I was driving to East LA to pick up some banners that we're putting up, and I was driving, and I was like, I was thinking, I have this message, and it's all written out, and I have all the scriptures, but something is missing. And, you know, if something doesn't feel right, you know, ask the Lord Jesus. He doesn't withhold from you. He will never withhold. And if it ever feels like he's withholding, the only, you know, because there's mysteries, and because God says to seek him. And if you ever feel like God is withholding something, he's not withholding. He's just calling you to a deeper place. Amen? Amen? Amen. Amen. And so I was driving to East LA. I was visiting my friend Fidel, who I think is watching, actually. I got there, and, you know, he's Fidel, if you're watching, thank you so much, because this guy's been, like, faithful to our church. Like, he hooks it up for us, because we order banners, we order invite cards, and he's just always been good to our church. And so today I saw him. I hadn't seen him in a long time, so it was great, you know, to catch up, you know, to get out and, you know, speak to, you know, people out there. And it was just so good seeing him, and we're just talking, you know, how we're doing, you know, how his business is doing, how the church is doing. And he was like, hey, bro, like, he was telling me how his back is hurting. I think he was breaking some ankles on the basketball court, and he tweaked his back. And so I prayed for him right there. I'm like, hey, Fidel, like, let me pray for you. He's like, yeah, sure, bro. Like, he's a believer too, by the way. So he's like, yeah. He's like, I'm a believer. I believe it. So I lay hands on him. I pray for complete healing of his back. And I asked him, like, hey, like, how does it feel? He's like, man, I feel some relief. I'm like, man, I was still in Georgia earlier. Like, I'm so cynical when I ask people how they feel, because I'm, like, so afraid that they're just lying to me. Because I'm like, hey, like, how's it feel? And he's like, oh, like, it feels like, he's like, I feel relief. I'm like, no, like, seriously, man, like, how does it feel? He's like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, bro. He says bro a lot. He's like, yeah, bro. He's like, I feel relief. I'm like, praise Jesus. Like, yeah, man, like, God is so good. It was awesome. My point with that is, one of my several points is, in the midst of this fear or pandemic, it's not the time for us to back off. You know, earlier Georgie came in and he was telling me how he had a really bad headache, and he had a really bad earache. So I prayed for him. Well, they do, like, let's pray. And so I prayed for healing. The exact same thing happened. I was like, how does it feel? He's like, oh, it feels better. He's like, I can, like, move my ear. Like, it feels, like, don't lie to me. He's like, I'm not lying to you. God is so good. I'm like, I know, like, I should believe him, obviously, because he's, like, my brother, but I shouldn't be so cynical, but to hear that God moves just builds your faith so much, and that doesn't happen unless you step out. If you're so concerned with the results, you'll never obey. If you're so concerned with whether it happens or not, like, you're not being obedient. Because Jesus said to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. And you not stepping out in that faith is you not stepping out in that obedience. And according to the Bible, it means you don't love Jesus. I'm sorry, I don't want to be harsh. I don't want to be, you know. I just want you to be so in love with Jesus that it doesn't matter what he asks you to do, because that obedience comes from that love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you will obey my commandments. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. There's a love that comes before the obedience. Amen? Yes, amen? Amen? So it's not the time right now for the church to back off or to hide or to get comfortable in our homes, or, you know, it's not the time for us to get comfortable, you know. It's not the time for us to say, man, brother, I'm praying for you through a text message. No, call them up and pray with them right there. Like, it's guys, it's not the time to back off. It is a time for us to take the kingdom by force. Amen. Man, there needs to be some unction. I don't know if that's the right word. There needs to be some tenacity. Boldness, says Pastor Drew. Thank you, sir. There needs to be some tenacity. Like, it's you know, it's not the time for us. It's not the time for us to hide our light under a basket. It's the time for us to shine bright on a hill for everyone to see that Jesus is good, Jesus is a healer, and Jesus is our provider and our protector. If you're taking notes, oh, sorry, I said all that to say, because today we're going to talk about, I titled this message, Jesus' Kingdom. Jesus' Kingdom. And at some point today, at some point in the next few minutes, I want us to take communion together. We have communion prepared in here for the few of us that are in here, but at some point, you know, just grab some water, grab some juice, grab some crackers, grab some pineapple juice, grab something. It's not about specifically what it is. It's about remembering what Jesus did. We'll talk about that more a little bit later, but I just want to give you guys the heads up that we're going to take communion as a church family, because I think some of us need to be reminded of the promises of God, and we need to step out in faith to receive those promises. Amen? Amen? Amen. So everyone say, Jesus' Kingdom. Luke chapter 6, verse 46, we'll read through verse 49. It's literally on our wall. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man, he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not. Church, what word is that? Shake. Everyone say shake. Shake. If you're next to someone, shake them. Although you're supposed to be 6 feet apart, so there should be no shaking. Unless you're home, then I guess you can. And could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The pandemic, the corona, the loss of jobs, it came to all of us, right? It came to all of us. The storm came, the pandemic has come, it is beating against us vehemently. Sorry, I get stuck on words sometimes, vehemently. But the wise man who heard the teachings of Jesus and didn't just hear them but did them, he is like the man who builds the foundation on the rock. And here's the amazing thing. When the storm comes, because it's not a matter of if. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. Am I okay? Okay. It's in the way? No, sorry. It's not a matter of if. It's a matter of when. The storms of life will come. And here's what I feel the Lord saying to us this evening, is that if you feel like you've been shaken in the past few weeks, whether it's because of the pandemic, whether it's a bad report concerning your health, whether you lost your job or you got laid off, if there was a shaking in your life, I would ask this question. Upon which kingdom is your life built upon? Because Jesus said, if you do my sayings, you will not be shaken. Which tells me that if we're shaken, not stirred, if we're shaken, then maybe our lives are not built, founded on the right foundation, on the right kingdom. Guys, there are two kingdoms. There's a kingdom of the natural ruled by Satan, the prince of this age. He rules in the natural. And then there's the Jesus kingdom, who rules in the supernatural, who supersedes the natural every single time. And maybe we've been shaken, or maybe you've been shaken, or maybe I was shaken because my foundation was in the wrong kingdom. In the wrong kingdom, guys. Here's the amazing thing. These two kingdoms, they both have rulers. They're both, by definition, they're both kings in their own kingdom. But the amazing thing is that the both kings are also both fathers. They're both fathers. John chapter 8, verse 38 through 44. I love this because Jesus is talking, you know, he's not arguing. The Pharisees are arguing with him because Jesus speaks truth and he trumps them every single time. It's not even an argument when you talk to Jesus because he's always right. And he'll always be right. But they're having this conversation with Jesus and they're trying to convince Jesus that they're righteous, they're good with God, and that they're walking like, you know, they're in that narrow path, that they're in the right kingdom. They're trying to convince Jesus that, you know, we're the sons of Abraham. We believe in Moses. We're good. And this is what Jesus says. He says in verse 38, I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. There's two kingdoms, two fathers. Verse 39, they answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. That's amazing. Abraham, before the law was even established, Abraham was counted righteous as a righteous person, not because of the law, but because his obedience to the Lord. It was his obedience that made him righteous. Abraham did not do this. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then they said to him, we were born not of fornication. We have one father, God. First of all, they had just said that Abraham was their father. Now they're saying they have one father, God. They're wacko. They're just trying to be right. Like, they're not even trying to make sense of the conversation. I think that they're just trying to be right. Anyway, verse 42. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Oh, Jesus is so good. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. For he is a liar and the father of it. If you have been shaken through in this season, it might be because you believe in some lies. Our belief is that foundation, because it's our belief that it's from our belief that come forth our actions. And when we act on fear, we're listening to the wrong father. And when we act in faith, we're believing his word. We're believing his promises as true. And God is faithful every single time. Like, he'll be faithful today. Later when we take communion, God will heal you. God will make you whole. God will cleanse you because it's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, which means that if you're harboring unforgiveness, the blood of Jesus will cover you and his grace will empower you to forgive. If you're sick, his body was broken. His body was bruised. He bore the stripes on his back so you would have complete health. It's who he is and it's his promise towards us. Amen?
Amen.
I got to breathe. Hebrews 12, verse 28, this is from the ESV. This is so amazing. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be. What's that word, church? Jesus is so good. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Listen, when this world comes to pass, at the end of this age, God will be a consuming fire. He will be a complete consuming fire. And here's what the Bible says. Everything that was not made through him will burn. And everything that's connected to him will remain. Thank you, sir. If it's not built on his foundation, the storm's coming. And the Bible, Jesus said, great will be its fall. But check this out. So verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. If you look up that word receiving, it means it means to receive with your being. Actually, I have it right here. to take with oneself or to join to oneself. In other words, receiving the kingdom isn't like receiving a piece of pizza. It's not like you get a pizza and like you eat it and like, no, it's like receiving a wife or receiving a husband. It's not, you know, it's not a one-time thing. It's like a change of life and you're not committed. Like they, now your entire being belongs to them and vice versa. You receive it, literally means to receive it with yourself. And it makes so much sense because Jesus gave his complete self for us. He gave himself for us to open the door to his kingdom. Because not everyone's going to receive it, right? It's up to us whether we want to enter in. Jesus is that door. Amen? And it's a kingdom, guys, that cannot be shaken. No matter what the bad report is, no matter what the bad news is, it's a kingdom that we place our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength on loving Jesus, because that's what the kingdom is about. It makes it so that no matter what comes our way, we are not shaken. We're not shaken, guys. Is this making sense? John chapter 15, verses 14 through 17. I love this because on the topic of, you know, a kingdom where the king is not only, you know, the king, but he's also our father. It's amazing. Because when you build your life upon this kingdom, it cannot be shaken because this kingdom has already overcome. Jesus has already overcome. He's already won the battle. All you have to do is build that foundation on that victory. John 15, verse 14, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants. I just think that's so amazing. Like we're not in the kingdom because we're slaves. We're not in the kingdom because, you know, we're just here to serve and there's no, it's like, it's amazing. It's like we're in the kingdom with a father who wants to hang out with us every single day. Like that is amazing. And all we have to do is just obey. That's it. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should remain. Just because there's a pandemic doesn't mean we shouldn't be bearing fruit right now. If circumstances change your Christianity, then you have the wrong foundation. If you use circumstances to not obey the Lord, I'm not saying you have no relationship. Your trust and your belief is on the side of fear than on the side of faith. Yeah. Malachi says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what ways have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. God said this, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into my storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it. Jesus said this, he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. The tithes and the offerings, they belong to God. And for you to withhold those in this season is an indication that you don't trust the Lord. Well, you're just talking about money. No. I'm talking about everything. This is just a part of it. Everyone say part of it. Because the same Jesus that said, you know, give to Caesar what's owed to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. He also said this, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a commandment too. He says, come to me. He's telling you, come to me. If you're heavy laden, if you have these burdens on you, come to me. For you not to come to Jesus when you're stressed out, when you're afraid, when you're worried, when you're anxious, that's just as much of a sin as not bringing your tithes and offerings. Right? Obedience is obedience. And the kingdom of Jesus is based completely on obedience. When Jesus says, you know, the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. For you to not do that is disobedience. To love Jesus with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind is to love, is to obey in faith, no matter what the circumstances are. We cannot use circumstances as an excuse to not obey God. Because then we're saying our circumstances are greater than the kingdom of God. And we are aligned with the wrong father. Don't do that, church. God is a good father. He is amazing and he loves you and he died for you so that you wouldn't have to put yourself underneath the ruler of this age, but to set your mind on the things above, to have the mind of Christ, to know God's ways which are higher. And it doesn't matter what's happening in the world. You have perfect peace in Jesus. Check this out. Oh my gosh, I love this scripture. Psalm chapter 16, verses 8 through 9. I'm reading from the ESV on this one. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be, what is that word?
Shaken.
Therefore, my heart is glad and my whole being. There's no room for doubt. There's no room for fear. There's no room for anxiety. There's no room for sadness. There's no room for sickness. There's no room for disease. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. This is such a great word picture. I have set the Lord always before me. Here's the amazing thing. If you make sure the Lord's always in front of you, you're never going to be going in the wrong direction. You will never be steered in the wrong direction. If you are conscious to always have Jesus in front of you, that is the best place to be because you're only going to go forward if he's there. And what's the result of that? My heart is glad. My whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. That, man. Some of you guys are hearing that right now, and that's like, you're like, oh, I want that. I want my heart to be glad. I want my whole being to rejoice. I want my flesh to dwell secure. I want to take the yoke of Jesus. I want to cast my cares on him. Fall in love with Jesus. That's where it starts, guys. Fall in love with the one who chose you. Jesus said that earlier. He said, you didn't choose me. That is hilarious. Jesus is just looking at us. He's like, probably like, you know, I picture Jesus with like a smug look. You think you chose me? I thought about you before you were even a thought in your parents' mind. I wrote out all the days of your life before the foundations of the world. Man, you didn't find me, I found you. We serve such a good God, don't we? We serve such an amazing God. Do you guys have your communion elements? Not you guys, but, you know, people watching. Grab your crackers. Grab your saltines. I hate saltines. Grab your Ritz. Grab your Ritz crackers. Grab your gluten-free whatevers. Grab your pretzels. Grab something and break bread with your family. We're going to do communion in a few minutes. I hope you guys are excited. It's awesome. Here, I'm going to confess my dumbness before you right now. I wasn't feeling well for like a good week and a half. I'm like super, super, and don't judge me because people think I'm crazy, but you know, whatever. But I'm super caffeine sensitive, and I was taking DayQuil and NyQuil. DayQuil and NyQuil, they have acetaminophen. Acetaminophen has caffeine in it. So I literally, I would take NyQuil, and then I would take NyQuil like at 8 o'clock at night, and like at 1 a.m, I'm like wide awake, going like, this is insane. Like what? Like I had no idea what was going on. And then I was like, oh wait, acetaminophen has caffeine. Pretty sure that's what it is. It was like the weirdest thing, because it's like my body is tired, wanting to fall asleep, and my eyes are wide open. It's not a fun thing. Anyway, one of these nights, which is actually last Sunday. It was last Sunday. And right, by the way, if you guys are wondering, I'm feeling better, probably because of this. So Sunday night, it's like 12:30 in the morning. I'm wide awake. I can't sleep. So I'm listening to a sermon, a message, a live stream. And so they do praise and worship. And then they started to do communion. And I'm like laying there. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, like, when was the last time you took communion? And I felt so dumb. I've been sick for a week and a half and haven't taken communion. It was like the dumbest thing ever. So me, I get up, I go upstairs, I get my little juice, my little cracker. I went back downstairs, sat in my bed, and I took communion. And I promise you, I kid you not, I wouldn't lie to you. I'm in the house of God. I wouldn't lie to you. Well, even outside of the house of God, I wouldn't lie to you. I won't. So I'm sitting on my bed, and I took communion, and I'm not. God is so good, because I took communion and like I just felt like the presence of the Holy Spirit just fill me and just love on me, and I went to sleep. And the next day I woke up a lot better. Today I woke up, I'm like almost 100%. I think I'm 100%. I should be. I'm great, and I felt really dumb because you know I probably could have taken communion the first day I felt sick, and then you know I should know these things. And I literally listened to like a whole sermon about this stuff too. So for like a week. We can be so dumb sometimes, huh? Anyway, what was I talking about? So we're gonna do communion in a little bit. Oh yeah. You guys ready for man, I'm reading a lot of scripture. I'm pretty happy. Usually I give these guys like 12 or 14 scriptures, and like I get to like two of them. But we're doing great. We're doing great. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. We'll read to verse 18. Oh, this is so good. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. He, talking about Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. You were created for Him. Listen, you were created for Him. You know what that means? The truest form of satisfaction will come from knowing Him. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm not perfect. And there's things in my life, not so much anymore, but you know, when I got saved, there's a lot of things I had to work through. And you know, looking back those 9 years, I'm so glad that I worked through all of those things, because I have peace and I have wholeness that I've never known before, that I never knew before I got saved. That's because I was created for Him. And I received that with my entire being. And that's just amazing, guys. Where were we? I don't have numbers here. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Isn't that awesome? Isaac, if you can come up. Pastor Isaac. Here's the amazing thing about the Jesus kingdom, is that yes, there's one king. Yes, there's one father. But he gave all the power and authority to all of us. And here's the thing. Like, there's no, it's not like, you know, there's, it's not like, in the kingdom of God, it's not like, oh yeah, we're all like peasants and, you know, there's noblemen and there's, it's not like there's a hierarchy. We're all sons and daughters in the kingdom. Like, it's weird. It's like in God's point of view, kingdom is synonymous with family. It really is. Like, he is our Father who is in heaven, and holy is his name. Anyway, in his kingdom, it's not about status or stature or position. We're all sons and daughters. Kingdom equals family. That's so awesome. And the thing about God's kingdom is that everyone, like, he gave us the right to become children of God. And when we receive that with our entire being and we say, yes, Lord, I want you to be my Father. I will be your people, or your, I will be your person, and you will be my God. He gave us a name. And in that name, all power and authority reside in that name. Here, Acts 3:16, this is what Peter says. I think it's Peter. Yeah, it's Peter. This is right after, remember they walked by that gate called Beautiful, and, like, you know, the guy looked at Peter and John, and, you know, they grabbed his hand, and then the guy's jumping, and then they went to the temple to go pray. Hopefully you guys remember that. This is right after that. Because they're asking, like, what happened to you? Like, and how did this happen? So their response is this. And his name, this is Acts 3:16, in the ESV, and his name, which is Jesus, and by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. When Jesus sends out the 70, everyone was like, they're going nuts. Because they get back and they're like, Jesus, even the demons listen to us. Because Jesus gave them all the power and authority to do what he was doing. And Jesus is like, yeah, that's good. But be happy that your names are written in heaven. In other words, be happy that you know me. Be happy that you know, like, you know, instead of getting caught up with all, like, the doing and all, like, the, you know, we're going to cast out demons. We're going to, man, make the number one purpose in your life to know him, to obey him, and to love him. And trust me. It's in loving him and knowing him that the peace comes. That the grace to forgive comes. That the name of Jesus' authority to be healed and whole comes. That the renewing of the mind comes through his grace. The grace that causes you to say no to the things of the world and say yes to the things of God. The grace that causes you to, you know, change your mind about you know, your worth and your value. Letting go of things that happened in the past. It's all tied to the name of Jesus. And in this Jesus kingdom, God, our Father, gave us this name for us to use in his will. And one of the promises, out of many amazing promises. Speaking of commandments, you know, it's not just, you know, in tithes and offerings. It's not just in, you know, coming to Jesus when you're heavy laden, stressed out. Not just about coming, not just about, you know, loving the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. But here's something else that Jesus told us to do. It wasn't a suggestion or a recommendation, and they're not guidelines. Luke chapter 22, verse 18, we'll read through verse 20. And he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Body was broken for our healing. His blood was shed so that we would be made righteous, so that we can come boldly to the throne of God, receive mercy and grace. because of his shed blood. I need elements. Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. Someone get this man some elements. I spilled mine. Man, I had one job. No, I want to spill it again. I'll wait. Thank you. Well, I didn't spill the bread. I got two breads. Double Jesus. Hey, I'll take more of him. I encourage you guys, do this at least once a week, but you can even do it once a day, depending on how many Ritz crackers you have. Hopefully you have a lot. They're not selling out of Ritz crackers, right? They're not. They're not that great. Not the point. The point is, you guys can do this every single day, because Jesus didn't ask us to do this in remembrance of him to remind him of what he did. It's because, like me, we forget his promises. And when we forget his promises, we're remembering and we're meditating on the wrong things. Because in order for us to remember his promises, we need to deny the lies of the enemy. You can't remember what Jesus did and then still believe that, you know, you're going to be sick or you're going to, you know, be poor or you're going to suffer. Like, you can't. Like, because then you're not really believing what Jesus said. But as a body of Christ, as believers who we believe the words of Jesus as truth, filled with the Spirit. When Jesus said, you know, my body was broken, you know, by his stripes, we are healed. His body was broken for us so that we would have health. And his blood was shed so that we could be cleansed, guys. We could be made righteous. I don't know what you're feeling during these times. I don't know what your struggles are. But here's what the Bible says. Who the Son sets free is free indeed. And when you're covered with the blood of Jesus, you are free indeed. Now, whether you choose to be free or not, it's completely up to you. Every single one of us, we have the ability to forgive. If we know Jesus and we're covered by the blood, we have the ability to approach God boldly. We have the ability to reject sin and to obey. Or else the Bible wouldn't tell us to live our holy calling if we had no ability to live that holy calling. But because of the blood of Jesus, we have that ability to be holy, to be righteous. And so God, he literally, Jesus, when he said it is finished, it means everything is in our court. Everything is now in our hands. Do I want to live a life of righteousness or do I want to stay a slave to sin? Because the question isn't whether I'm free or not, because Jesus already paid that price. That price is already paid. His death on the cross paid that price. We are free. Now, whether we want to let go of sin, whether we want to be free of the bond of your sin. And we would rather be what Paul says, slaves to righteousness. It is completely our choice. We have the free will to choose righteousness or unrighteousness. We are free to have that choice. Jesus paid the price for that. Why would you choose unrighteousness? Why would you choose to sow to the flesh that reaps corruption, death, fear, anxiety, doubt? Or you can sow to the Spirit and reap peace. Reap this godly foundation where no matter what happens in the world, no matter what the circumstances are, you will not be shaken. So let's make a commitment today through communion and in remembering what the Lord has done for us, his death on the cross, his body, his blood. Let us remember that as a commitment to say, I will no longer let situations control my life. I will no longer build my foundation in the wrong kingdom because Jesus paid the price for me. He said this. He said, I have come to give you life and life more abundantly. So let us remember what he did tonight. Amen? Amen. So let's take the bread. Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Jesus, we thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask that your Holy Spirit just invade every single home. That as the leaders and the pastors of this church have made this house your home, a place where you reside and you live, I pray that every single home watching becomes a home where your presence and your spirit resides. You're not a God who's afar off, but you lead with yourself. It is your joy to love us. We were created to be loved. And so I thank you, Lord. Just like what Jesus said, that as we love Jesus, the Father will love us. And so this evening, Lord, we remember and we receive the blessing that you paid for with your body, the promise of health and wholeness. We command sickness and disease to leave our bodies and to leave our midst in the name of Jesus. And we remember, Lord, that your word said, and you are not a God who lies, that by your stripes we were healed, God. And so we step and we step into that victory that you've already overcome. And we receive it with boldness and gladness, knowing, Lord, that you paid for our wholeness in the name of Jesus. If you're watching through Facebook Live, obviously I think everyone's watching through Facebook Live. Some people might maybe through the website. But I want you to do something right now. I want to pray for you one more time for physical healing. And I can still be kind of cynical sometimes. So when I pray for you, I wanna know your testimonies, like right now. Like as soon as I pray, I want you to start typing in the Facebook live chat or in the church chat or Instagram live chat, wherever you guys are watching, I want you to start typing in, Lord, heal me of this. Jesus healed me of this. We want to know. Because we serve a God who's real, and we know he's going to heal every single one of you. Amen. And I just want to give God glory and testify of his goodness. So if you're sick or you're in pain right now, I want you to lay your hand on wherever it is where you feel sick. And I want you to repeat after me and say, Father in heaven, I believe that you paid the price with your own body so that I'm for healing. And so I receive that through your son Jesus, that by his stripes I am healed right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for healing your people that you love so much. It is your joy when your people remember your promises. You know, it's amazing. Like, it's God already laid out his promises for healing and for wholeness. He doesn't have to say it again. And it brings God joy when we believe him the first time. Amen. And so, Lord, we thank you for your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins, Lord. That if there's any of us who were, whatever sins we're holding on to, whatever emotions we're holding on to, whatever guilt or shame or condemnation that we're holding on to, Father, I thank you that your blood cleanses it right now in the name of Jesus. That through your blood we are made righteous, God. And we thank you for your blood, Jesus. Your precious blood that makes us whole. Cleanse us, Jesus, as we remember it is finished. And from this moment forward, we are completely righteous. And you've already set us free, Lord. And so this day and every single day, we choose you. in the name of Jesus. If someone can just pull up Facebook. I want to know those testimonies. Like, I know there's going to be testimonies. Type it in right now. And then you guys all have my number, so just send me a screenshot. Huh? Oh, no. We'll give you a few moments. In the meantime, we're just going to lift up the name of Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus, for your promises that are yes and amen. We give glory and honor and reverence to you, Lord. We remember what you said. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Lord, I pray that we would have reverence and awe towards you with our life, with our being, Father. With our life and with our being, Jesus. We praise you, Father. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Father. You are so good. You are so good, Jesus. You are so good. You are so good. I'm assuming you don't have any testimonies yet? Not yet? They're coming, though. I know they're coming. We're going to hear some testimonies, for sure. The Spirit of God told me. Let me pray with you guys one more time, and then we'll close. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for your amazing presence, for your promises, Lord. And I thank you, Jesus, that you are so good to us and that you love us so much that you chose to send your only begotten Son to us, to love us, to die for us so that we can know you. And what an honor and a privilege it is to be in your kingdom, in your family, and how awesome it is to be able to call you Father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. We have one testimony. Angel's throat feels better. Hey, that's awesome. Tyler's back. Totally feels great. It totally feels great. It was really messed up. It was really, really messed up. It's totally fine now. Oh, I know her. I know Yvonne. Sorry. That's Yvonne. My breathing is healed. I have no cough. Or no cough. Jesus is good. Thank you, Jesus. Daniel's back feels relief. Big Daniel, right? Not baby Daniel. Big Daniel. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you for these amazing testimonies. And we know more are coming in. And so we give you glory and honor because this is the God that we serve. You're not a God that's silent. You're not a God that's far away. But you, just like with Israel, you desire to live and work among your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Is there another one? Donna Marin says that the heaviness in her chest. Donna Marin. You're healed in the name of Jesus.